Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Hello, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age. The first part of today's program is dedicated to you men, a gender I know a little something about, but I invite you ladies to listen in because we men certainly cherish your understanding, love, and support. And okay, men, let me begin with a question. Now that you're in your 40s or 50s, do you feel somewhat let down by your career, relationships, accomplishments to date, maybe life in general, whatever? Are you convinced that your best days are mostly behind you, not ahead? Do you wish somehow you could go back to your early 20s when you were ready to attack the world and the future looked so promising? Or maybe you've never really experienced the positive emotions that go with a destiny to succeed or the being convinced that you will succeed. And as I ask in my book, A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, have you been sleepwalking through your middle years? And if you answered yes to my question, here are three worthy goals. And they're not impossible to achieve. One, live up to your full potential. Develop and employ those amazing strengths and talents within. Two, find your true identity, the person you were placed on this earth to be. And you're so much more than simply your job title or your career. And three, lead a joyful, successful, and significant life as defined by God and you, not by someone else's definition. And I've got great news. My first guest today is a successful life coach who concentrates on assisting men to live up to their full potential, find their identity, and live an abundant life. And he's Aaron Walker, a veteran entrepreneur who started his first business at age 18 and sold it to a Fortune 500 company 9 years later. And he's started, bought, and sold 8 successful companies over the past 36 years, and today is founder and CEO of View from the Top, a premier life and business coaching enterprise. Aaron spends the majority of his time helping men grow in success and significance, and Aaron's firm provides men a wide variety of resources that we'll introduce later. But hello, Aaron, and a hearty welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Hey, Roy, thanks for having me. Oh, man, I'm pretty excited after hearing that introduction that you gave to what men should be doing in their life. I'm pretty pumped up myself this morning.
Yeah, well, let's start with a downer. Let's say that you're 44 years old and not satisfied with life today. You're employed, but it's more like just a job than a satisfying career, and you missed out on that recent promotion and feel like you plateaued. Or maybe your marriage isn't in trouble, but the romantic spark is gone, and you and your wife are more roommates and partners than best friends and lovers, and your children, 13 and 16, were great fun when they're young, but now they talk back, challenge everything, and tune out the old man, and you have no real plans or goals for the future, individual or joint with your spouse, only vague talk about someday retiring to someplace warm. And I turn to you as a life coach seeking purpose and success in my life. Where would you suggest that I start?
Well, man, there's a lot of challenges you just laid out.
Well, those are just some of the common challenges of middle age. Not everyone has all of them, obviously. But
I get it completely. I will say this. I'll be 55 in March. And probably I'm more excited today and have more opportunities today than I've had in my entire career collectively over all 8 or 9 businesses that I've owned.
That's what we like to hear.
Well, we live in a land of opportunity more so now than ever before. You know, the internet now has created an environment to where the world is our audience, not just the surrounding counties.
That's
and so there's unlimited opportunities that are ahead of us. Here's the other thing, Roy, is I don't spend much time at all looking behind me because I can't change anything that is behind me.
Yeah,
like 5 minutes ago, I can't change that. But
no.
What I do have great possibilities on are the future.
Yeah.
And so that I tell everybody that's why the windshield is so big and the rearview mirror is so small, because we don't want to spend much time looking in that rearview mirror. Occasionally, you got to glance back there. You've got to look, you know, at areas where you might have had a life lesson, and we need to reflect on that.
Yeah,
but
you
for
can
the most
avoid,
part,
avoid repeating past mistakes. I mean, it only as a guide for the future, but not the determining your destiny for the future, only what you might want to do different.
Roy, there's a document that I wrote several years ago called What Do I Want? And most people don't know what they want. That's the problem is I even asked one question in the opening comments of this document that says, if geographically or financially there were no limitations, what would you do with your life?
Yeah.
Most people can't answer that question.
They don't know
because they're too busy with their nose to the grindstone, paying for things that they probably shouldn't have bought to begin with, or they've got themselves in debt up to a point where they don't see an out. And so I just tell people they need to learn to live their life intentionally. It needs to be very deliberate. It doesn't need to be dictated by their neighbors or their mom or their dad or their friends, family, peers, colleagues. You need to live your life.
Yeah.
Right? Well, and most people don't know how to do that because they don't take the time. Robin and I elected years ago to sit on the front porch and say, where do we want to be 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now? And we've learned to delay our gratification, to give up today's securities for tomorrow's promises. And so I want to encourage people to live their life intentionally.
Yeah. Well, what are some of the questions that a man of middle age, in fact, at any age, should ask himself? What are a few things that, you know, in seeking to define that future or determine where you want to go? Because obviously you have to have a destination before you can map your way to it. But
Well, one of the big things that people need to ask themselves in regards to what they want is, you know, how, first of all, I'm a person of faith. Okay, so I'm a Christian, and so that's very important to me, and I have to ask myself the important questions. What is my purpose?
Yeah.
What is the true calling of my life? Why am I here? You know, is it just to make money? Well, I want to tell you, I've made money, and then when you get to the other side of that, you go, is this all there is? I mean, it doesn't scratch the itch like you think. Now, let me say this, though, Roy. Let me be perfectly honest with you. People that have money that say money's not important, they're liars. It is important.
Yeah.
We just don't need to make it our primary focus.
No, it gives you the opportunity to choose when you're financially independent like that. And so you're not constrained, I have to do this because I have to pay the bills. It's just, that's really, it's a tool, but it's certainly not an end in itself, right?
We also need to do kind of an evaluation on things that we want in our life. We need to ask ourselves difficult questions and be totally honest. One of the questions that I ask men regularly, what are you lying to yourself about? See, like, we know the answer to a lot of things, but we lie to ourselves. Well, it'll get better later. I'll deal with this at some point. I even used to financially coach people, and they wouldn't open their mail. And I'd say, do you think by you not knowing it's going to make it better or make it go away?
What, they don't open their bills?
No. That way they don't have to deal with it.
Yeah, until a foreclosure guy calls up.
Then you got a real
bill
problem. But we do the same thing in our personal lives. There's things that are in the way. You know, there's bitterness maybe that we're harboring that we need to eliminate. There could be sorrow or difficult things that have happened in your life, and you sweep it under the rug rather than dealing with it. There's people out there that owe us an apology, and we can't make them do that, but there's people that we owe an apology to that possibly are blocking us from being our best self. And so things like that that we need to do, that's the first thing. The other thing is we've got to distinguish in our personal life what our top priorities are as a family.
Amen.
And we need to put those at the top of the list because Greg McCallum wrote a really good book called Essentialism. And it helps us to understand what the non-essentials are in our life that we can eradicate and focus on the vital few things that can take us to the next level because we don't have the energy to distribute our energy across 15 different things. We only have the ability to focus on two or three things and pour our whole mind, self, body, and strength into to become an expert at that. So if your listeners out there are trying to make yourself available in 15 different arenas, you'll flame out. You don't have the ability, the energy, and the effort. So discern what the vital few things are that you really want to accomplish and eliminate the non-essentials in your life.
Yeah.
And I ask people with young children, what is the number one traits that you want to try to instill in your children? Because they're very impressionable from the time they're about 5 years old until they're about 13 or 14. When they get 14, they lose their mind. And you don't get them back until they're about 25.
That's
and so
true.
It's really, really important that we intentionally focus on some of those things.
Yeah, I know on your website you ask the question, are you a man who longs to live a life of success and significance? And that leads to the question of how do I define success? And I think you're touching on that right there because clearly different from everyone. And so many of us only have a foggy notion of what success means. And so how would you suggest that we should seek to define success so we know what we're shooting for?
Well, here's the thing, as you just so eloquently put it, is success is defined differently for different people. There's no way to define success as a blanket covering and say,
no,
this is successful. For me, I'll just go through kind of the way I came to this. First of all, when I was 18, I opened a business. It was very successful. At 27, I sold out to a Fortune 500 company. I took about 18 months off, and I got very depressed because I didn't have a purpose. I didn't have meaning. I didn't have a reason to get up.
Yeah, you can't go charging ahead and all of a sudden just turn it off. And
well, that's what I did, and I didn't have anything in the hopper, you know, that I was going to do. And my wife woke me up one day in the middle of the day after I'd gained 50 pounds in an 18-month period of time, and she said, "What is your deal?" And I said, "Well, I'm bored. You know, I don't have any reason to give up. I've got
eating
money.
Is my deal.
Yeah, I've got time, and I'm eating way too much, too many Big Macs." And so she said, "You got to do something." So I went back and bought a store I'd started with when I was young, and we spent the next 10 years building that. And then I had an automobile accident, Roy. August 1st, 2001, I hit a pedestrian. And it killed him. And so I said to my wife, you know, I'm going to cash in. I'm tired of chasing money. You know, we've got enough. And so I sold out, and we took 5 years off. We didn't do anything for about a five-year period. And what I learned through that was I had great success, but I had no significance. See, everything I'd been doing was about myself, and it was about my family.
So
and
true.
It wasn't reaching out. So I thought, you know what? We can have both. I heard Bob Buford speak on a book he wrote called Halftime, where most guys spend the first half of their life chasing success, and then they discover what I did, and it took an accident to get me to realize it, that there was no significance. And so I sat down and decided, what is success? I had to ask myself the question. I said, what does it even mean to be successful? And for me, it was choosing my own schedule because I didn't want to punch a clock every day. You know, it was like, if I want to work today, I will. If I don't. So for me, that was successful. The other thing is having financial freedom. I wanted to feel like I don't want to feel the pressures of every day thinking, man, I'll be glad when Friday gets here and then I can pay this bill or that bill. That's a lot of pressure.
And you don't have to do activities that you don't want to be doing just because you have to pay those bills.
Yeah. So for me, that was something that was successful. Another thing that's really important to me is my family.
Yeah.
And I've got two daughters. One's 29, one's 32, and I got five grandchildren. We all live about 5 minutes apart.
And we're still waiting for our fast grandchild.
you better get with it, man. You better get with it.
Well, our son keeps messing around and doesn't get married, so it's kind of...
Well, tell him it's time. You can't be waiting forever.
No.
But, so for me, an engaging family and meaningful relationships is really important, because at the end of the day, nobody cares about how much money you've got, but everybody cares about how you impacting their life is what really made a difference.
Yeah.
And so those things were really important to me. I wanted to have a clear conscience, you know. I wanted to take care of myself physically. I wanted to learn to be content without being complacent, you know. Learn to enjoy the situation you're in, because happiness is a choice, not a trait. And so then I said, well, okay, I got it down now. Now I know what I want individually. But what does significance mean? I had to ask myself that question. What does that even mean?
To go together. I don't think anyone can be really successful if they concentrate totally on themselves. It may work for a little while, and like losing a bunch of weight or whatever the goal is, but unless you want to change that into significance for helping others and bringing them along in happiness and joy, it really isn't going to get you very far.
Yeah. You've got to think about, is significant, are you speaking for the benefit of others, or is it how it makes you feel individually?
Yeah.
And I started thinking about that, and I said, well, when it's significant, if you're doing it just for your welfare, it's really truly not significant, because I wanted to learn how to meet the needs of others, right? Help be a catalyst to reach their dreams and their goals.
And
I wanted to learn to fully engage people. Roy, you ever been to a restaurant and you're talking to somebody over lunch and they're looking at every person that walks in the door and they're looking around the restaurant at every other table? Well, they're not fully engaged,
right?
They're not listening to you. They're like guys with a remote control. They're not interested in what's on TV. They're interested in what's not on TV.
Yeah.
Or what they're not watching. And so that's the way we do relationships.
You also talk to people that it's like they're just ready, thinking about what they're going to say next to reply to what you're saying, rather than really listening to what you're saying.
Well, I tell people to stop waiting their turn to talk.
Yeah.
Right? You want to significantly be involved in that conversation. Another thing that I think is really cool to do, and you learn that you're really interested in people, when you start helping people that can't repay you.
Yeah, that's so true.
Oftentimes we'll do things in the business world or personally because you know there's a payback.
Yeah.
They can do this or that. But we look for opportunities to help people that don't even know that we're helping them, right? We do it anonymously.
Yeah.
And we'll pay utility bills or buy meals. One of my favorite things to do is to take my grandchildren to Waffle House. And privately, anonymously, we'll pick out a table or two, and we'll buy their lunch or breakfast or whatever we're in there for.
That's a great lesson for the kids, the grandkids.
Well, they're learning to be generous.
Yeah.
And they're learning to do it at no gratuitousness to them, because we're doing it anonymously. So we're teaching them to be generous with a pure heart. So some of these things I think are important and significant is if we will prioritize our personal goals with other people in mind.
Yeah. Amen.
Right? And we do it long term. We have the foresight to invest long term so that potentially we could impact generations to come.
Yeah.
It's not all about just helping people today.
No.
It's what can I do today to make an impact in their life that will change their family tree?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, you talk about one of the keys, obviously, is to find our identity before we really need to know ourselves. And you have a fascinating, on your website, what you call the DISC personality profile, where each of the four letters stands for a type of personality characteristic. Could you very briefly describe what that DISC personality profile is?
Yeah, it's probably not going to be enough time in this interview to describe that, quite honestly, but it just helps us to understand who we are as individuals. Like, for example, I'm a high D, and I want to be in control. I want to be in charge. I don't want to delegate.
Yeah.
I want to have my finger in every pie.
I wonder if you're an entrepreneur.
Well, I know. But that can get you in trouble sometimes, too, because I need to be true. Delegating things out. Then there's the high I's, the high C's, the S, people with different personalities. I used to coach people that were high S's, and they're very sensitive in nature, right?
And so
my wife would say, why do you have to say it so hateful? Can you not just say it a little bit more with a little bit more tact, you know? And I would say, well, you know, they would say, well, we don't have any money. And I do financial coaching at our church, and I would coach the man and the woman together.
Mm-hmm.
I don't coach women now one-on-one. But the woman, I just say, you're spending too much money. You need to quit spending money. And they start crying. I say, well, that's why I don't coach women today. You know, but what my point is it helps you discover your personality. The DISC profile is a very simple tool. There's about 30 questions on it, and it just goes through the way you answer it. It discerns what personality style you are.
How can we find out more about that? I know there's a place on your website that I learned a lot about it, but is that where we should go?
Go to viewfromthetop.com, and there's opportunities there to get to this profile, and then I can call you back after you take the profile. We'll see what you are. But there's another document on there that's free, and it's called a personal assessment. And I'm actually going to give that away to your audience in a few minutes. I'll tell you how you can get that. But what it does is it discerns your identity. It goes through and asks you some very, very valuable points about the person that you are.
Yeah.
And then it helps you break down your ideals and your personal needs, whether they be emotional or physical. And it talks to you about your relationships and how you should be investing long-term in your career. A lot of good information there is for free, and at the end of the show, I'll tell you where you can get that for free.
Well, one other, since you're such a successful entrepreneur with all those ventures, a lot of us at middle age dream about starting or buying a business and being our own boss. And what does it take to be a successful entrepreneur? And looking within, how can we tell if we're likely to succeed and enjoy the process before we squander big bucks or create intolerable stress on ourselves and make ourselves and our loved one miserable? How do you know if you're cut out to be an entrepreneur? Are there any good indications of that?
Yeah, well, some of it is, first of all, you can be an entrepreneur with all different types of personality traits and instincts. I mean, so it doesn't just, you don't have to be a high D, right, to be an entrepreneur. There's a great book called Quiet that talks about introverts and extroverts, and some of the most remarkable entrepreneurs on the planet are introverts.
They're
people that are very creative, people that are very original in their thoughts, and so you can create multiple streams of income doing things on the internet, like private label on Amazon. You can go in and create a product that you don't have to deal with anybody individually. A lot of people are afraid to talk to people individually.
Yeah, the internet has made it a lot easier to be an entrepreneur without having to call people in person and do that kind of thing that introverts don't like to do.
Kevin Reiser has a great podcast called Private Label, and he teaches you how to be an entrepreneur online with Amazon store, and you don't have to deal with anybody individually, so you can do that. But what I encourage people to do is decide what would you do for free now that empowers you, encourages you, it gives you a sense of well-being, satisfaction. Yeah. Kind of discover what that is, and then start doing it slowly. Now, don't go out there and quit your day job with no plan in place, no resources, because your first responsibility is to your family and to your children. You've got to provide an income. So go slow. A lot of people think it's one or the other, either or, and it can be both for a period of time.
Yeah, no, that's a very good suggestion. And it's better to stick your foot in the water before you dive in head first. Well, let's talk a little about your organization, View from the Top. What are some of the resources you offer? I was fascinated by this men's mastermind groups, the Iron Sharpens Iron, which makes a lot of sense. How would I join, and what does it cost, and how do we get involved with that kind of thing?
Well, there's two or three things that we'll start out with. The one you just mentioned, Iron Sharpens Iron. I was involved in a mastermind group with Dave Ramsey and Dan Miller and Ken Abraham, some of those names you may be familiar with, some you may not. We met in Dave's office for over a decade, every Wednesday for an hour and a half. We empowered each other, encouraged, we held each other accountable. We told each other when there were good ideas or bad ideas. We studied books together. Well, I've copied that analogy personally, and I've set up what's called Iron Sharpens Iron Mastermind, to where 10 men come together virtually in an internet conference room, and we do those same things every week for 1 hour a week. And then we have a private Facebook page where we share resources and ideas, and that's $350 a month is what it costs to participate in that. It's a very small fee compared to what you get.
Yeah,
if you say that's a little bit out of my budget, we have what's called the community, where we have men all over the world that have joined the community, and you can find that at viewfromthetop.com. It's $37 a month, we have a forum where we share ideas and resources together. I do a one-hour webinar every Wednesday afternoon where you can ask questions and listen to me teach, and we have various authors like Bob Berg and Dan Miller will come and be our guests, and we'll share different topics and books together. And then I do one-on-one coaching where people come to me because I have 37 years of business experience, and I teach you how to live a life intentionally and on purpose, and I help you grow your business.
You have the base camp, scaling the cliff, and the summit. I noticed you had three levels there that you offer on that.
Yeah, depending on what your needs are as to which one we steer you towards.
Yeah. And you also, I know you have some online courses. I think you mentioned one, Make Every Day Productive, is the latest
Steps
one.
Steps to a Productive Day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that. So you have a whole lot of resources. Also, I know you have some free resources as well.
I do. I'd like to give your audience something. There's three documents that I use each and every day. One of them we've already discussed, called Personal Assessment. I just told you about it. The one earlier in the show was What Do I Want? And the third one is called Steps to a Productive Day. It's once you figure out who you are and what you want, this course allows you to each and every day, kind of like a to-do list on steroids. You go in and you fill it out. And so what I'd like to do is to give all three of those documents to your audience. You can go to viewfromthetop.com/middleage, all in lowercase letters, middle age. And I've made those there for free, and you just download those. They're in a Word document. You can use them each and every day.
I will do that myself. That sounds like something I'd very much like to have. And that's viewfromthetop.com/middleage.
Right.
Well, in conclusion, I'm certainly, if I polled every one of you men out there as to what you want out of life going forward, the most common answers would be peace of mind, freedom from worry, joy of daily living, success in life, and significance, contribute something to others, leave something behind. But each of these goals are highly commendable, but your identity, do you really know yourself, your personality, and the way you approach life, precisely what you mean by success and what it takes to make you happy, and finally your strengths and talents, what you have to give to others and how best you can enjoy life while earning a living and giving to others? And for answers to all these questions, I highly recommend you go to Aaron Walker's website, viewfromthetop.com. Get that free resource he just mentioned. And as Aaron indicates, iron strengthens iron. You will gain strength and correction from iron and other strong men out there on his website like you. And thanks a million, Aaron Walker, for joining us today. You're performing a highly valuable service that there aren't a lot of other people doing for us.
Thanks,
men.
Roy. I enjoyed it, man. You're a great host, and I appreciate you having me on your show.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. I want to thank today's guest, Aaron Walker, for inspiring us men, heck, all of us, male and female, how to find our true identity, live up to our full potential, and lead a joyful and significant life as defined by God and as by you and me, not by someone else's definition of success, but by ourselves. And what we're really talking about is midlife renewal, when you think about it. And that's the basic theme of this program, as you know, week in and week out. Why would any of us not want to reach our full potential? And I'm going to spend the rest of today's program talking about common excuses that people make, perhaps you make, for not seeking to transform your destiny at this point in time. And here are some common excuses. Do any of these sound familiar? Excuse number one, I'm simply too busy right now. I can't find a minute. Work, family, and social obligations simply are too much. I feel like I'm running faster all the time just to catch up. And a common companion excuse is, I just can't seem to get organized. We'll talk more about that on future programs, but here's a question to contemplate right now. What in the world is more important than renewing your life for a joyful second half, a joyful and productive second half of life? I can't think of anything more important than that. But here's the second common excuse. I can't afford to quit. I admit I don't relish my current occupation, my employer, my boss, my work responsibilities, heck, what I do every day. But who will pay the bills if I quit and look for something better? We'll talk about that on future programs as well. Here's a third excuse. My life will change someday when blank. And then you fill in your own blank. Examples of when are after my children finish school, once my divorce is finalized, as soon as I find a new job that I like, when my workload isn't so heavy, or the most far-fetched one of all maybe is after my rich uncle dies. This when excuse seldom, if ever, occurs, and if it does, it often is replaced by another when. Quite simply, it's just an excuse for doing nothing. And it makes no sense, depending on some external circumstance, to make it a good time to renew your life. You have to take responsibility for that yourself, after all. Here's a third one. What good would renewal do me anyway? Given my sorry circumstances and the negative people all around me, it isn't realistic to hope that for something better. My spouse won't change. My boss won't change. My children won't change. People I work with won't change. Realistically, how can I be positive and joyful all by myself? A good question, but there are some solutions to it, and we'll talk about those on future programs. Here's another one that the evangelical Christians might cite. God will make good things happen if it's God's will. In God's overall scheme, there's really nothing I can do. I simply will place my future in God's hands. And madam or sir, I greatly admire your faith in God, but certainly the loving Creator wants us to help out in the process and not just sit around for divine intervention. We'll talk about that on future programs as well. Here's another excuse you often hear. I would renew and change my life if only. And if only is always some external factor, often in the past, and almost only beyond, always beyond our immediate control. I quit school too early. I should have finished school. I was born ugly. I just don't have enough intelligence to move ahead. I'm not confident in myself. I don't get along with people. If only I could do this or that. And unfortunately, if only is somewhat even worse than when, because the when excuse implies that someday things might change. The if only kind of is a handy excuse for never moving off the present. And please don't fall into the if-only trap, which often in the end becomes I could have been. And here's another excuse. I'm not a natural leader. I'm not Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. An unremarkable individual like me shouldn't expect too much out of life, so why try? What good would renewal do for little old me? Well, that one is one that I quickly dismiss, because everyone is a big person in their own sphere of influence. You're a big person to your spouse, to your children, to your people with you work with, to everyone who comes in contact with you every day. So never tear yourself down. You know, each one of us can only influence our little corner of the world. We can't change the whole world. Here's one that it was even greater back years ago, around 2001, 9/11. But in light of recent events, the world is just scary, too scary right now. You know, we still have ISIS and we have Al-Qaeda and we have other scary things happening. Terrorists may strike again at any time and the economy may go south. So people say, I'm not going to stick my neck out. I think I'll just plug along until the world straightens itself out. Well, sir or madam, the problems in the world is no excuse for you and I to be miserable. You know, bad things can happen to any of us, but why not enjoy life to the fullest and build that inner strength so that whatever happens, we will recover. And we'll talk about that in future programs as well. And here's a final one for people that are suffering from a loss of a loved one. It hurts too much. My pain is too deep. Ever since the death of my spouse, life partner, son, daughter, parent, whoever it may be, the one person in my life I can't live without, I simply don't have the energy or the willpower to face today or tomorrow and to look for a better future. There is no way I can build a positive future without that loved one. Well, I can't obviously have no easy answers to loss of a loved one. My wife and I lost our daughter, Kristen, years ago, and I know how painful it can be. But we'll discuss why, even in the light of a loss, there's really no alternative to build a better future, because living that loss and the sorrow over and over for years to come really isn't a solution to anything. And at times, you know, procrastination can be even more counterproductive than self-delusion. When you think about it, the ultimate insanity is continued pursuit of a career, relationship, or lifestyle that is joyless and clearly is not working, is not producing results for you or for anyone else. And acknowledging unhappiness but refusing to take action serves only to reinforce our current malaise. Worse yet, negative emotions can be highly contagious, as we all know. More often than not, distraught individuals inflict similar stress and hard feelings upon everyone around them, and it's kind of a vicious downward cycle, isn't it? So let's all respond to each one of the 9 all-too-common excuses for doing nothing by pledging to overcome them, and we'll talk about solutions, as I said before, on future programs. And if you're ready to transform your emotions now from negative to positive, from being stuck to moving forward, may I suggest you go to our website, www.middleagerenewal.com. You can sign up for a free gift, our Middle Age Renewal mini course. You can review our resources, including blogs, past programs, and other tips on renewing both your personal life and on rejuvenation of your workplace, small business, or organization where you volunteer or socialize. And you also can preview my acclaimed book, A Midlife Challenge Wake Up by Roy C. Richards. The book not only offers suggestions on overcoming excuses for being stuck, but it also provides a comprehensive guideline on defining where you want to end up, and then it also gives you a step-by-step roadmap to guide from where you are now to where you want to go, including 18 self-help exercises. Once again, that's A Midlife Challenge Wake Up by Roy C. Richards, and I'd love to have you preview and purchase my book. And the book is available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or through our website, MiddleAgeRenewal.com. And that's our program for today. Thanks so much for joining us. As every week, we're only here because you're out there and you like to hear what we have to say, and we want to work with you to make us all joyful. Join that congregation of joyful middle-aged people, and tune in next week when our guest will talk about entrepreneurial fatigue, how to avoid and overcome it. Until then, throughout the week, keep in mind that you're not too old to have a great future. The future is there for the taking, and middle age can be your best age. Goodbye for now.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.